A long time ago, in this auditorium, it was just Mr. Carroll and me. It was one summer day. The classes were not in session, and the campus was quiet. And Mr. Carroll had asked me to come here because that morning, he had spoke at a funeral here in town. And he thought that the message was exceptional. Now, most people would have thought all of Mr. Carroll's messages were exceptional, but Mr. Carroll thought this one was helpful, would be helpful to others. And he was disappointed that at the funeral home, the message was not recorded. So he knew I had done some recording here, so he asked me to come set up the mic, set up the cassette recorder, and he was going to give the message. And so I came, and we did that, just him and me. At that time, the recording was in the back room here, not out back there where it is now. And so I thought, okay, here's the mic, and here's the recorder, but where's the congregation? Well, that didn't matter to Mr. Carroll. It didn't matter at all. And if you knew Mr. Carroll, he would pour his heart out into a message. He was very intense, and he would give it his all. I was in the back room, and he's out here by himself, preaching to nobody. I was amazed. How could he do that? Being a non-public speaker, I was really impressed. What concentration? So what does that have to do with prayer? Well, the same Mr. Carroll, I remember also a long time ago, made a statement, nothing requires more concentration than prayer. Here is the great preacher. Here is the evangelist, this Bible school founder and orchestrator. He, whatever you see here was because of Mr. Carroll. Compassionate counselor, missions organizer. Nothing required more of his concentration than prayer. So, why was that helpful to me? Well, one thing is that when he said that, I realized, well, I'm not the only one who struggles with prayer. And secondly, it amplified where his heart was at. All of those things that he did, that he was involved in, his heart was in prayer. Wednesday evening prayer meetings, I think, showed what he thought of prayer. Staff prayer meetings here, or not in an auditorium in the classroom, were typically 2 hours in length, if I remember correctly. The staff would get together at a table, and we would pray around and around for 2 hours. And he was right with you. He was concentrating on every request you made. He was amening it. Or if he didn't like it, he was silent. But he was there. He was with you. And if that time didn't require a lot of concentration, I don't know what did. Also, he would challenge us with quotes of other saints. God does nothing but in answer to prayer. He would challenge us to think on that. there is nothing more certain than that God answers prayer. How about this one? You can no more pray without the Holy Spirit than you can create a world. Us old timers, these words, I'm sure the others remember all of these because he said them repeatedly. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. He felt that there were too many believers that suffered spiritual fainting fits because they didn't pray. If concentration was the positive side of the issue, the negative side was passivity. And if there's anything that Mr. Carroll hated more, I don't know, than passivity. Whether it was in the classroom, on the volleyball courts, in prayer, if he sensed you were passive, he sensed you were a defeated Christian and that the devil was going to have you for breakfast. Passivity, he hated it. He didn't like sentimental prayers or emotionalism. Only he could do this, I think. If he heard you praying, "Oh Lord, be with so-and-so," he might say, "No, you don't have to pray that. The Bible clearly states, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Don't pray that." An indication of how he meant business. I used to drive Mr. Carroll to places. And I remember pulling out the driveway one day, and he said, "We're going to pray." And we're going down the road, and he wasn't just going to pray for the trip. He was going to pray for his list of things, because he always had things he was going to pray for. And he said, "Phil, you don't have to close your eyes." So he didn't want to be distracted in his concentration. So he prayed as we drove along. And I believe his greatest what was behind his concentration was his sense of dependency. He really believed Jesus' words, "Without me, you can do nothing." And he acted on that. And the outworking of that is prayer. "Without me, you can do nothing." So he prayed. And he kept on praying. So to me, he was a picture of dependency and of concentration. Because he really believed Jesus' words, he concentrated in prayer. Brother Jerry last night mentioned love as a motivation for prayer. And I think the dependency, and like so many scriptural or spiritual truths, they're all tied together. I think of Psalm 116. "I love the Lord because he heard my voice and because he inclined his ear unto me. Therefore, will I call upon him as long as I live." To me, that's a picture of Mr. Carroll. And a spirit of dependency, which created a great spirit of concentration in prayer.